We'll look at British and American growth figures out today, also blockchain week, and a sporting auction like no other. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Figures out about an hour ago show the British economy picked up speed at the end of 2017, growing 0.5% faster than expected, but not as strongly as other rich nations. The Bank of England Governor Mark Carney told the BBC this morning that's part of the short-term Brexit effect.
What's really going on in the economy right now, not surprisingly, is even though businesses have very strong balance sheets, even though credit is freely available, even though we're virtually at full employment, investment has picked up a bit, but it hasn't picked up anyways to the same extent as it has internationally.
Well, Yale Selfin is KPMG's chief British economist.
The other thing that concerns me is we have a very tight labour market in the UK already, and in sectors like retail, hospitality, agriculture, food manufacturing, they're already concerned and they're already feeling that shortage on labour and concerns that Brexit and the process of Brexit is going to make it even harder for them to recruit. And that could have an impact on our production capacity and actually on growth in the UK, potentially even more than uncertainty in the business side.
Now, we're expecting data from the US later today. And of course, we have President Trump speaking in Davos. We know that he's going to make the case yet again that a strong US economy is good for the rest of the world.
Absolutely. It is good because it would mean stronger export for us and potentially could also mean more incentives or more resources for the US to deploy elsewhere in the world.
Even with the warnings of trade barriers or tariffs, you know, the kinds of things we've seen this week?
It is possible that the US government would want to renegotiate or revisit trade relationship with other countries. But overall, the demand is likely to be stronger. So that fundamental is not likely to disappear.
Yale Selfin. Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher across the board, with London's FTSE rising 36 points, or 0.49%, on the back of that GDP report. Now, blockchain is a 10-letter word that's made a splash on Wall Street, and it's also taken Main Street by storm. The BBC's Victoria Craig delves into the growing popularity of the technology.
London's Blockchain Week, the fourth annual such event, boasted 2,000 attendees and proved the technology is more than just Bitcoin.
My name is Akio Kota from EquityX, an automated equity valuation tool developer. To be honest, like, I'm curious about new things.
My name is Isabel and I work for the commercial section of the Belgian embassy, just to network in general, see if we can partner up with some interesting people.
My name is Sarah Stevens and I'm the president of PinkDate, and we are an escorting agency on the blockchain.
Even Britain's Royal Mint, an 1,100-year-old government-owned institution best known for issuing coins, is pushing blockchain usages beyond cryptocurrency trading. It's preparing to launch a platform using blockchain to invest in gold. This is Tom Coghill, Royal Mint Gold's commercial director.
We are allowing people to hold physical gold ownership, but trade it in a number of different forms. So it allows them to have a digital trading capability, thereby allowing them to get around all of the challenges to trading physical gold, the expensive cost of storage, the friction costs of dealing in the physical market, insurance and shipping logistics.
Essentially, the Royal Mint is taking away the middleman in the transaction process, but is it safe?
While it's a publicly visible network, it's privately permissioned by the Royal Mint, so only parties that we allow onto our network can transact with us.
Many exhibitors at this year's event looked beyond cryptocurrencies, but Yuzo Kano, CEO of BitFlyer, one of the world's biggest Bitcoin exchanges in terms of trading volume, has his sights set on pushing for more regulation of the industry.
I'd rather to have the right regulation before the government actually setting the random regulations or ban everything.
More regulation could mean less volatility if investors believe trading cryptocurrencies will be safer.
A lot of people actually are confident because there's a regulations. There's several methodology to protect the consumers. So that may be good for the people to trust putting their money on the exchanges.
Higher volatility or not, back in the exhibition hall, one thing is clear. If enthusiasm is any measure of future success, blockchain-based businesses might just be about to boom. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
A totally unique sports event. Tomorrow in India, more than $10 million will be spent at an auction of more than 1,000 top cricket players for the Indian Premier League. The BBC's Samir Hashmi has more.
In Bangalore on Saturday, all the 8 clubs will assemble in one hotel room. all these players will be put up for auction.
And this is not just Indian players. These are cricketers from all over the world.
But that's right. All the best players in the world want to play in the IPL, and they will be part of this auction, along with, of course, a lot of Indian big names like Yuvraj Singh, Gautam Gambhir, Ajinkya Rahane. The likes of Virat Kohli, MS Dhoni, who are also big names, have already been retained by their respective clubs.
Why do all these top cricketers want to play in the Indian Premier League?
It is the richest cricket league in the world. The amount of money that's spent during this league is just humongous. IPL is the seventh most watched league in the world. The salary which players earn during a tournament is on par with any other sporting league in the world. Just to give you an example, the Indian cricket captain Virat Kohli, who is the highest paid cricketer, earns $380,000 per week during the two-month tournament. Just to give you numbers, around 700 million people will tune in this IPL season. And that's why it is such a big deal, just generally for the whole economy. I mean, there's one figure which I was reading that actually the IPL contributes 1.5% to the overall Indian economy.
Samir Hashmi in Mumbai. Finally, two stories for you. In France, the price of the chocolate spread Nutella falling caused riots among shoppers. And on Sunday, Lego turns 60. Tweet us a photo of your favorite Lego creation at BBC Biz. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.